Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi, and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. My first guest this week is Dr. Mo from Patients Know Best. He's developed a way of getting our health information, all our health information, in one place. And this is very useful for all sorts of reasons.
Obviously, you can show it to anyone you want. You can give access to anyone you want free of charge, just by their email address. It also works in 23 different languages. So if you are in France, for example, and you want to show them the system in French, for a French-speaking doctor, they can have that as well.
One of those reasons might be if you're abroad, a doctor overseas can see your health information and he can also get at the information in his own language very often, which can really help if you are overseas and ill. Then I talked to food activists Kate Quilton and Dave Sharma, and also Nick Marston, he's chair of the British Berry Growers. We talk about junk food advertising.
Yeah, so we were successful at getting the government to ban junk food advertising online, which is huge because we finally protected young people where they actually are, which is digital.
We talk about some recent successes, but also about other junk food issues that might need attention. So please do join me for a great show. Thank you. Dr. Mo has created an app and a website called Patients Know Best that can get all our medical information in one place, which has been quite a task because it really has not been easy to do. And it really, I think, has been his life's work in many ways.
It takes a lot of work to get it done, and a lot of people to get it done. So we started in 2008 and we just kept slogging at it. But it's now available in England for any adult to get and make use of.
Fantastic. And the easiest way, the way most people can get hold of it, is via the NHS app. Is that correct?
Yeah, about half the country sees it inside the NHS app. The other half, they don't see it in the NHS app, but they can still go on their website, patientsknowbest.com/register, and just take it from there.
Okay. So in both ways, well, first of all, the NHS app, when you log on to the NHS app, with everyone who's registered with the NHS can do that, then there's a button on the app, which, what does that say? Does it say Patients Know Best button, more or less, and you click on that?
So places like North London, for example, they've got 10 buttons that you don't see in South London. They say things like hospital test results or care plan or track your symptoms, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. These are sort of new features in the NHS app. So if you tap on one of them, it will say, this service is provided by Patients Know Best. Click here if you want to proceed. You say yes, and then you get that functionality. If you're in South London, you'd have to do it on the website, patientsknowbest.com/register. Okay. But it's 10 buttons otherwise in the app.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, so if it doesn't appear on the app and you still want to do it, you can go via the website. So you log on to the website. What exactly do you see and do then?
On the website, you'll see a big NHS login button. That's the same login that you use to get your COVID passport. You log into that one and it will say to you the very first time you do so, do you want us to get your NHS GP records? If you say yes, we fetch them for you. We also discover that there's existing information from about a third of England's hospitals that also use this. They send us everything up front for you to claim in your record. And then you can start also adding anything you want. So if you want to connect a Fitbit, if you want to create a care plan for yourself, you just have all that inside that website.
Okay. I mean, this really is a giant leap forward because there are pockets of information for probably each and every one of us in the NHS, and it's not necessarily joined up.
Correct. There's also information that the NHS doesn't know about you, but you know about yourself. So, again, for you to join it up by putting it back in that same record, you can then show it to everyone looking after you. And people looking after you include you, of course. Most of healthcare is delivered by people themselves who have a long-term conditions. They're the ones who take a pill or don't, change their diet or don't. And they also have a circle of care, their family members who are helping them out. So it's really making sure everyone gets that complete picture of what's happening and what to do next for your health.
Yeah, extremely useful. And Part of the reason for chatting today is extending that because, it's the time of year when lots of people are going on holiday. And first of all, if you're going abroad, you should definitely take out health insurance. Absolutely no question about that. But if you are abroad and say the worst happens and you become ill, people looking after you need to know, basic stuff about you. Maybe you're on some medication already. Whatever it might be, it's very useful for people, well, anywhere actually. This goes for the UK as well, but certainly abroad, to know about you as quickly as possible and have an easy way of finding that out. And this patients knows best can provide that as well.
Yeah, I remember the first person a few years ago to use this for with a rare disease. He said it was the first time he went on holiday because he had patients know best, and he because it's a rare disease, he often used just stay close to his hospital, where the specialist knew about his information. But he said, "Now I had my information. I felt confident enough to go on holiday." I have to say, he went to Australia. I would have started with France or Ireland rather than going all the way to Australia as my first holiday. But he did feel confident that if he was in the emergency department, he or his partner could just show the phone to the clinician. And the thing about the system is, obviously, you can show it to anyone you want. You can give access to anyone you want free of charge. You just put their email address. It also works in 23 different languages. So if you are in France, for example, and you want to show them the system in French for a French-speaking doctor, they can have that as well.
Okay, fantastic. I had a quick look at my NHS app today. So I'm in an area where the NHS app doesn't necessarily link up to patients know best, but I can do it via the website. So I was looking at my NHS app, just thinking about planning a holiday and the sort of things you might need. So this was at the planning stage. I'm not there yet. And I clicked on vaccinations because this can be a really useful thing because no one can remember what vaccinations they've had. And you might have vaccinations when you go on holiday to various different countries. And you think, yeah, I remember that. But you don't. You never remember that. So planning, you might want to know what you've had when. I clicked on vaccinations. Nothing came up. Now I know that I've had vaccinations.
But you know you had someone there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it would be a good experiment for me to try. Plug into patients knows best and see if anything comes up. But I'm sure people will use that in the planning stages for vaccinations.
Yeah, so I think if you currently don't see your vaccination in the NHS app, then when you register, you won't see them. Patients know best. However, what we found when we integrated is that about half the vaccinations aren't marked as vaccinations; they're marked as administered medications. So what we're doing over the next few months is spotting those ones and showing them up in the vaccination section, which is where you need them. So even if you register today, you don't see the information. In a few months, you'll see it updated. We found the same thing, by the way, with the diagnoses, for example. So I have been a patient in with the same GP surgery in Cambridge for 38 years. And if you look on the NHS app, it mentions nothing about my diagnosis, which is the most important thing you need to know about my health. Is that I have a rare disease and it's not mentioned anywhere in the diagnosis page in the NHS app. All it's mentioned in is in 1988, one of the GPs wrote in the appointment what the diagnosis was. And so you have to scroll past 300 appointments until you get to that one from 1988, if I want to show it to a doctor. In PKB, we find that diagnosis that was in your GP appointment. We put it back in the diagnosis page. So it's there for everyone to see. It's just rearranging the information in a better way, which goes back to the life's work comment you were making, Mike, just slogging through this stuff.
And this is, really important. Say you were on holiday in France, you were in an accident, and I don't know, perhaps you were unconscious, so you couldn't say, "Oh, doctor, by the way,
By the way.
they need to know this stuff." Another thing I thought about, which is potentially useful, if you do have a prescription that you take all the time, it could be for anything. You might end up going on a holiday with quite a few pills if it's something you take every day, and you're going away for a couple of weeks. And frankly, some of these things can look a bit suspicious in airports going through. So, you might get hauled up and say, "Come on, sir, what's all this stuff? This doesn't look normal." And well, then you can just show whoever's interested that it's all official. You can show them an
Yes.
official thing on your phone, and job done. Have people actually been doing that, or is that just the way my mind works?
I have been stopped in airports about my own medication, Mike. There was no white powder or anything, but it was more my medication is in a vial. And so they start asking about the fluids that you're taking onto the airplane and so on. So absolutely having that doctor's information as the proof that they should let me on the plane was critical.
My goodness. All right, very, very, very interesting indeed. Are you aware that people are using this more and more when they're going on holiday? Perhaps they might use it because they're going on holiday.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll tell you another story, Mike. We had when we started doing this for HIV patients, one of the doctors messaged this. He was really pleased with himself because a patient had gone to Portugal on holiday. And just before he'd gone on holiday, the doctor had put him on a new medication. And sure enough, within a couple of days, his skin flared up red. And the patient was really worried about the side effect of the medication and was close to just cutting the holiday short and coming back home. But he took a photo of the redness of the skin, and the doctor was able to confirm that was Portuguese sunburn. It's nothing to do with the medication. So he, please enjoy your holiday. It was great for the patient and the doctor. But it really does help people going on holiday. The one thing I was going to say is you're mentioning being unconscious, or even if you're just turning up in the emergency department, that is the worst time for you to be trying to remember all your medications.
Yeah,
But
you won't be calm at that point, will you?
you won't be
Probably.
calm, you won't be composed about it, but giving your family members access to your record as a carer, which you can do free of charge on PKB, it means that they can say to the emergency department doctor, Mike is on these medications. This is his background medical information, and he's due for this particular medication. He mustn't miss it while he's in the hospital. That kind of thing is very important to get support from your family.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought about, which can crop up maybe with a change of environment or what have you, and that's allergies. Because
Yes.
these things can come on very quickly if you're
Yes.
unfortunate enough to have an allergy, whatever it might be. And you do hear some very well, very sad stories actually of people who've been
Yes.
ill, very ill with allergies. And that is a classic case where communication might be difficult. If you're suffering from really badly suffering from an allergy, you might not be
If
able to
your throat is
speak.
all clogged up because of the allergy, that's not the time to explain it.
So in that instance, actually, how does it work? You can hand someone the phone, but do you have to unlock it for them? Because to get at this information, is there presumably there's a process of some sort.
Yeah, at the moment, Patients Know Better is a website that's password protected. So you do have to give the person your phone logged into the website. So either you're well enough to do that, or a member of your family is able to open up and show it to them. We do want to improve it in the future, so it just shows up on your lock screen, but that's not what currently is the case. You need to log into the website when you hand it to your clinical team.
No, I mean, that's interesting because I mean, there's a lot of information on there which
Yes.
it should not be up for grabs for anyone to be able to see,
Yes.
but also people need to see it quickly at the right time. So I can imagine that's quite a balance of design.
It's quite difficult, Mike, because one, obviously you have to secure your information so the wrong person doesn't get to it. But also, the sicker you are, the more your security is also about making sure the right person does get to see it quickly and accurately. So getting that balance is difficult.
Well, it sounds like you're kind of there or working towards that
Yes.
right now for sure. Is the whole patients knows best? I know you started in the UK. You're talking to me from Canada at the moment. So is it sort of
Yes.
becoming more accepted around the world? So if you do go to an A&E department and you have this patients know best, are doctors likely to recognize it?
So we're not quite world famous yet, but we are definitely getting more countries like the UK, like sorry, Canada, the Netherlands, Nigeria, Ireland, Saudi Arabia. All of them are starting to use the system. I will say that whether they recognise the brand of Patients Know Best or not. The fact that it can appear in the language of that clinician is really important. And then the idea of a person having information with them and deserving to have information with them, that's a global idea. Everyone gets that. They're all trying to figure out the best way to implement it, but it's not a, when I started, this was a radical thing to have to convince people about. Everybody gets it now.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good to hear. Of
Yes.
the couple of chats that we've had, one question that I've never asked, I don't think. I don't know if it's because I've forgotten or it just hasn't popped into my head, or one point to make. Patients don't pay anything for this, do they? I mean, I could sign up now, use it, I don't pay a thing.
It's definitely free of charge. So it's funded by normally either the provider of care, so your hospital, or the regional government that funds your care, so an ICS in England, for example. And the reason for that is a person who has their information is cheaper to look after. So when you get your test results, when you can see your information, you need to call your doctor less, you end up in the emergency department less, and for that, making sure you have the information is an easy thing to do for their clinical team, and they provide it to you free of charge.
Right. And have you got, I'm sure you do, because I've got to know you a little bit, some proof. If you're trying to get an NHS trust to use this, have you got some kind of hard facts proof that you can plop on someone's desk and say, look, if you start using this, your costs will come down?
Yeah, we started with a very simple thing, which is, I mean, sorry, it's mundane to talk about this, Mike, but you get letters from your hospital about your appointments, for example. And obviously, we can give those to you digitally, but we can also track that you've read the letter in Patients Know Best. So the hospital stops sending them to you by post because they don't want to, they definitely want you to see it. So they'd rather send you the postage than you missing the appointment. That's much more expensive. But if they knew that you definitely looked at the letter online, they stop posting it. That pretty much covers everything from a very mundane thing, which is just avoiding postage. But then other clinical teams did the much more interesting work, which is, in dermatology, you can reduce appointments for certain conditions from 4 times a year to 1 time a year. Or for prostate cancer, the follow-up appointments, if you knew the test result was normal, you don't need the follow-up appointment and so on. So you can just make healthcare a lot more efficient and you avoid the patient having to take time off work to come to the hospital and so on.
Okay. This whole thing, every time I've spoken to you, I've got more and more excited about it because, it seems really useful. It can help the people looking after you, but in some ways, more importantly, it makes the life of the patient a lot easier,
Yes.
potentially a lot better. And, it's useful when you're going on holiday as well. So I think maybe just give us a reminder of how you can get hold of it, and the website, well, how you can do it on your NHS app if that's available to you.
Yeah, so just to make it easy for everyone, go to patientsknowbest.com/register. Register yourself, tell all your friends and family to get the same thing. And once you've logged into the Patients Know Best website, go to the sharing page and click add carer and give somebody else access to your record as well so they can help you look after yourself.
Excellent. Right. That's really good advice. Mo, it's always a delight talking to you. So thank you very much indeed for taking
Thank
the
you,
time.
Mike. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
My next guests are Kate Quilton and Dave Sharma. They're both food activists. And then Nick Marston, he's the chair of the British Berry Growers. The topic is the advertising of junk food, particularly to children. But first of all, I asked about statistics and relating to junk food and how good or bad they are for us, particularly in relation to kids.
Currently, at the moment, young people are growing up in a completely obesogenic environment. Like, I'm 21, and from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, junk food adverts are online. They're right outside my school. They're on my bus ticket. They're in my bus. And the statistics show that actually a third of young people by age 11 are at future risk of diet-related conditions. So that's saying a third of children at 11 are overweight or obese in plain English. That's
Okay,
insane.
that's pretty terrifying. And is that getting worse, or has
And
that
it
been
gets worse
stable for a
into
while?
adulthood because now when you look at the adult statistics, it's almost like 60%. So what happens to young people is already when they're like a young child, when they're walking into their supermarkets, when they're looking at their shelves, when they're consuming advertising on YouTube and outside their schools, and it just continues to get worse as they go into their adolescence.
Okay. I mean, there's going to be many, many factors involved here as to why we're all overweight. Junk food is kind of part of that mix. But are there any other things to just maybe mention a little bit before we major on junk food?
I mean, at the end of the day, we are products of our environment, and there are many factors contributing to the UK's high level of obesity right now. I mean, really, it's an obesity crisis. And so, yeah, we're looking at junk food. Ultra processed foods have a part to play.
Right. Is
Exercise
that
has a part
because
to
we just love
play.
them so much and we want to eat more of them?
Yeah, and they're
Quite simply.
designed to be that, They're designed ultimately for us to just not reach a point of satiety and to just keep wanting to eat them. There's that magic fat sugar ratio where actually the rats in the lab don't stop eating it. And so they're trying to serve the same food up to us, because that equals sales,
Yeah.
and yeah, profits.
Larger
So
portions, that's another thing I've noticed kind of in restaurants or in cafes. I'm sure portions have got larger. And actual physical plates, the plate it comes on, they're bigger from when I was a kid, I'm sure.
and also the menus have changed, haven't they? I mean, once upon a time, a 4 ounce burger was a really big one. Now you get 2 ounce burgers in your 2 4 ounce burgers in your bun, so that's 8 ounces of beef plus all the cheese and everything else. So you're absolutely right, and I think it's quite interesting that if we look at ultra processed foods and the contributors to the obesity crisis, supermarket sales of UPFs are declining. Ultra sweetened breakfast cereals, stuff like that, the sales are going down, and the sales of fresh fruit are growing. So berry sales have grown about 14 to 15% per annum compound for several years. So when people are in a supermarket, they're shopping responsibly, they're thinking about what they're buying and their diet, they are actually starting to change their behavior, and they are starting to think about
Okay.
obesity and the challenges
In
therein. But
interesting. So
the
it's not all.
advertising here is aimed at young people. It's aimed at kids who are much more malleable and much more easy to
Yeah.
persuade.
And it
Okay.
really
So
is
it's not all
hidden.
doom and gloom. And in fact, you guys, you have had some success in tackling some aspects of advertising for junk food. Tell us a bit about the successes.
Yeah, so we were successful at getting the government to ban junk food advertising online, which is huge because we finally protected young people where they actually are, which is digital, where young people live completely digital lives, their favorite influencers but being used to target them with junk food advertising. And we can finally protect them. But what's been left out is a few things. So firstly, brand ad exemptions. McDonald's can still advertise its golden arches, but it can't advertise a burger. Domino's can advertise its pizza
Okay.
box, but it can't advertise a pizza. So
Are
that's
we
still there.
talking here to all advertising online, or this is advertising to children online?
This is actually all advertising online,
Okay. Oh,
which is
that's
the
good.
great thing. The problem is that when you look at the high street and you look at the outdoor advertising, so much of this advertising is concentrated 400 meters near schools. In fact, our research shows that a third of schools have reported having junk food advertising right near their gate. So it's really everywhere. And even like, let's get away from schools and let's talk about football. Why does football have junk food advertising everywhere? Why is Coca-Cola sponsoring the World Cup? Well, where it's everywhere young people are looking.
Okay. Well, I suppose the answer to why do they advertise at football and stuff like this is gotta be because it works. Because these
Absolutely.
companies are not going to waste money, and they have whole marketing departments who are very clever and good at this stuff, and they are unlikely to waste money. So I suppose the simple answer is it's there because it works.
Yeah, and it works on kids. As in our research, 87% of parents said that their child after seeing the advertising goes home and requests it. So it works.
Yeah, British Berry Grower survey showed that parents are seriously concerned about this as well, Kate. So that 80% support a ban on that advertising to their children. 60% link junk food with obesity. So, you know, parents are concerned about this bombardment of their kids, but nothing's being done at the moment.
I've got an example. Admittedly, it was from a few years ago. It's a slightly different topic, but it's vaping. So when my daughter was at school, she went on a school trip and they rented a bus. On the back of the seats on this bus were adverts for vapes. So she I think she was 15 or 16 at this time. She came home and told me, I could not believe it. There's no question this is a serious problem. Are there any... Dave, you spoke about adverts near schools. Are there any sort of regional variations in this?
Oh, so the data shows that it just gets worse if you go to areas that are more low income and more deprived. In fact, these big food companies, they know that they make the most amount of money from really well-off, not well-off parents and families who are time poor, who maybe don't have that much time to cook food and need to be able to buy cheap food. And it's really shocking because you enter these areas, and I'm from Leicester, and I can really compare different areas of Leicester, especially near my school, where it's just a food desert and flooded with junk food advertising. And then you'll go into a really nice suburban area and there's no junk food advertising at all. The companies know what they're doing. They know who they're targeting. And if it feels really malicious, but and we all know it's malicious, but no one's doing anything about it. It feels like the government, who's supposed to be protecting my friends, I mean, we're helpless in front of this, are just turning a blind eye to it. And that's what our problem is. It's that we all know it's wrong, but why aren't we actually protecting children? I can see the case for parents, but what about children over here?
Okay.
Yeah, and I can second that. I used to live in Tower Hamlets, which is one of the most deprived boroughs of London. And childhood obesity is very high in that borough, and fast food advertising is everywhere.
Okay. We need a plan. What's the plan? What? Okay, Dave, when you are in charge of everything, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix it?
Well, so I want to pose a question to you guys over here, right? So I'll tell you a stat and I want you to guess. So 87%, it's around 87% of young people think they eat a healthy diet. This is by Public Health England. What percentage of young people do you actually think eat a healthy diet? Guys, feel free to answer.
56.
20.
Yeah, I go more with the lower side. So I'm gonna say 15.
Okay, you guys are all wrong, and it's much lower than that.
No,
6% of young people actually eat a healthy diet.
6%.
So what we have right now, we have a generation of young people who've been deceived by big food companies through spectacular advertising that the foods that they're eating are actually healthy. Yeah. So young people think they're eating a healthy diet by eating, you know, that product, that product that has berries in it, but actually has not an ounce of fruit inside of it.
6%. And that is echoed by, I mean, I live with an eight-year-old, right? I spend a lot of time with eight-year-olds. The average UK lunchbox is, well, surprisingly, right. Okay, tell me what you think the average UK lunchbox contains in terms of UPF. What percentage of food? The ultra-processed
80%
food?
Of it must be UPFs.
Okay, Dev's really good at this and he knows his numbers, but it's 81% of the average UK lunchbox is an ultra-processed food.
Yeah, and I think when we go on to what are we going to do about it, the fresh fruit industry can't out-advertise the fast food giants. So firstly, we should see a ban. You know, tobacco advertising was banned donkeys years ago because tobacco is harmful. Obesity is also seriously harmful and creating a type 2 diabetes epidemic and costing the NHS billions. So why would we not have a ban? And then secondly, why can we not persuade people that actually alternatives are great? Berries. People eat junk food because it's convenient and it's great to eat. It tastes lovely. It's tailored to do that. Berries are actually equally convenient. You can buy them in a corner shop, in a small, you know, high street format supermarket. They're £2.50 for a punnet of strawberries. That's four portions, 60p a pop. That's way cheaper than the cheapest hamburger in a burger joint, or a grab bag of crisps, or even a chocolate bar. So, you know, berries are really good and they're extremely nutritious. So I think it's a combination of both the carrot and the stick. We have to encourage people to eat the good stuff, but we have to actually ban the bad stuff being literally rammed down their throats on the way to school in the most deprived areas, aimed at the most vulnerable and the most easily persuaded.
All right, so who are you guys lobbying to try and ban junk food advertising? Is this a local government thing? Do they have run the planning rules for big signposts, or is it a national government? What are you up to?
You know, so local government has the power to legislate and protect their own publicly owned spaces. And we've seen Transport for London do this, where they've restricted junk food advertising on the tube and actually continue to make actually more money than ever before. So the economic case is there. But now what we're saying is government needs to come in, and the vast majority of advertising is privately owned, and ban it on privately owned advertising spaces. And those are the spaces that are right outside schools. Those are on bus stops. Those are the malicious ones that really get us. And to like double on what Nick said, like, not only is the fact that most young people think that eating a healthy diet bad, but it's also malicious. And that's more of a reason why we need the government to protect children's health, because we need to make sure young people actually think and know what healthy food advertising looks like. The big food industry and the big food giants are getting away with deceiving young people into thinking these foods are healthy. And it's just shocking.
All right. Yeah. So
we're launching a campaign, so we are going to press government to do something about this. And if you go on our website, britishberrygrowers.org.uk, and look for a fresh outlook on food, you'll find out more about that. So people, please do.
Okay. Can the rest of us get involved? You know, is there any information on your website of who to write to? Should we all be writing to our MP?
Yeah, I think people should. They should express an opinion. So great idea. And I think you're absolutely right. The more people who protest against this, the better. But you know, again, if I go back to the tobacco advertising ban, I can't remember the public generally being overly concerned. It was actually the National Health Service, the government, who were sitting thinking, this is costing us a fortune and killing people. We must do something about it. And at the end of the day, it is the government's responsibility to look after their people in the best way they can.
Especially
moving, is that going to happen then? Are we moving in that direction? Do we know?
I think, Gav, you've been very active in this in this space with the Bite Back campaign.
Well, you know, what we've seen is that finally we're getting to a place where not just government and the public health professionals inside of there, but also parents, as our research has shown, that around 87% of parents agree that this should be extended to outdoor advertising. Parents are finally understanding the power of government needed to protect their children's health. So Everyone understands and everyone knows that this issue is too big for the individual to take care of, that we are helpless against the flood of advertising by big food companies and their massive and massive amounts of billions that they spend on it. And so I think we're really getting to a place. It's just, it's crazy where the journey we've been on in the last 10 years and getting people to understand. And I think give it 5 years' time, we will get to a place where people will start to demand more from the government. But that, it's all about imagination, isn't it? It's that, how do people get involved? Well, we've imagined a new complete billboard with advertising of berries. We're not saying that junk food is bad, but we're just saying, we're putting a punnet of berries on the breakfast table in the morning could be a great new way to imagine a healthier Britain in the future.
Yeah, about consciously electing to make a healthier choice, you know. And you really, you know, you have got to be conscious about it, because as Dev says, we've essentially been indoctrinated by this advertising for decades. But it's an easy choice to add something like a handful of berries to your breakfast in the morning. And it's something I do every day at home. Because, you know, I've been lucky enough to be, I guess, working in this space, making programs, documentaries, investigating health for 20 years now. And I meet experts endlessly that say berries are one very critical change. I mean, that you can make to your diet, throw them in, and they will really make a difference to your health.
Okay. Now, Almost finally, I think. So, Dave, you said that the advertising really has been deceiving us. There's been, a purposeful act of deception going on for years. Now, if we want to try and sort of head that off and undo this massive deception, what is a really good source of simple, useful nutrition information that people can look at? I'm thinking, I don't know, a website, something like that, really spells it out that, this stuff is bad for you. You should try and move your diet towards this kind of thing. I mean, often the NHS website is very good, but can you point people to a very good, clear source of information?
So there's an incredible website called Love Fresh Berries, and there we've imagined, and this is what we I think the solution is. It really is. It's like instead of Monster and Lucozade and fast food companies telling me that something is high in fiber, high in vitamin C, and claiming all these ingredients, I'd rather just have the natural product, which is a berry, which is actually high in fiber and high in vitamin C, and includes all of these naturally. And so the solution really to all of this is check out Love Fresh Berries, see what advertising looks like when healthier food is actually advertised, and when fake foods who deceive us aren't. And these are the things that actually give us these nutrients.
Yeah, and also britishberrygrowers.org.uk carries the same information and also carries the campaign information. So you can also find out about our campaign on that. So britishberrygrowers.org.uk, a fresh outlook on food. But you're absolutely right, Dev. Love Fresh Berries has beautiful photography. It has recipes. It has all the nutritional information. So it tells you why berries are good for you and how they're good for you, but also how to enjoy them in a whole range of ways.
Excellent. Look, this is important stuff. So I'm going to finish on one final question. What are all three of you having for lunch? Nick, what are you having for lunch?
I've had my berries for breakfast, so I'm probably going to actually have a ham and salad sandwich for lunch.
Okay. Without you, is ham ultra processed? I don't know. Not
Well,
necessarily. I'm just
not
teasing.
necessarily. It depends on who made it.
It depends. Good. All right. Kate, what are you having for lunch?
Oh, great question. Oh gosh, what am I having for lunch? It's probably going to be mostly some kind of vegetable-based salad, kind of avocado thing. I'm in London, so I don't know, but it's going to be along those lines. Lots of fruit and veg.
Okay, Dave.
Ev?
Mike, I think you forget I'm a broke university student, so I'm going to get Kate to buy me lunch.
Oh, so you're getting a good lunch. Excellent.
Oh
Kate, make sure you buy him a nice lunch.
I
Good.
will. I will. I mean, he's done a great job today. I mean, he's doing a great job for everyone, for
Well,
the.
we've been a dream team today. We've just been knocking
Good.
about. It's been good fun.
Good.
It's
Glad to hear
fun.
it. Look, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. This is an important topic. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Thanks
Mike.
so much, Mike.
Thank you very much to my guests on this week's show, and they were Dr. Mo from Patients Know Best and Kate Quilton, Dave Sharma, and Nick Marston, all talking about advertising of junk food. Please do have a look at my website, relaxbackuk.com. If you suffer from back pain, check out the Backup Chair. The website again is relaxbackuk.com. Thank you to you for listening and have a healthy week. Until next week.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.